The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant at the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
Now, the first story sounds like a silly season story, that you might have a choice between a chatty driving tester or a more formal kind of individual. Where does that story come from?
Yeah, well, thankfully it comes from the UK rather than locally. And I saw it in The Guardian on Sunday. They were reporting on it. And the British government has commissioned a report from the Transport Research Laboratory, who are very reputable guys and girls, on the driving test. And one of their, to my mind, rather silly conclusions is that females pass the test at a lower rate than males, and they postulate that a reason might be that the examiner is too formal and stiff and doesn't put a woman at ease, and a chattier style from the examiner might equalise that unequal male-female
pass. Now, this is a thesis rather than a proven fact. Are they going to try it?
Well, I doubt it, because, I mean, I don't think it stands up at all. To my mind, it actually is silly. It's torturing the data because you don't like the answer that the data clearly gives you. And the plain fact is that men pass the driving test more than women do. They seem to be better at doing it. There's a persistent gap. It's in our data as well. It's right across the OECD, wherever they do these tests. Males are about 5 to 6% better overall in terms of their pass rates.
And is that something to do with men's kind of loving to game, for example, loving to test, loving to do quizzes and all that sort
of. They take to those sort of challenges for reasons that are sociological as well as biological, but they just do. So if you set a male any dexterity task, they'll set about it with confidence, often with misplaced confidence, and they will tend to achieve more than the diffident female.
So this brings us to the young men who then pass the test more easily than the young women, and how they behave after the test.
Which is much more important, because the test itself is a basic test of competence, and we may have to accept that for a typical female, that might take a couple of more lessons than the typical male, but it's not really important. What's crucially important is how you behave out on the open road. And there, the statistics are a disaster for men. They take much higher risks and they crash their car much, much more often than females. It's nearly a 2-to-1 ratio. Now, that equalises dramatically when you cover for things like lifestyle and all that. And the more the typical female starts to look like a typical male in terms of their life patterns, that gap narrows a lot.
A bit like heart disease.
But it's still there. I mean, even when you equalise for all those factors, like the driving test pass rates, it persists that females are safer than males. Now, we're forced to be blind to that in insurance terms, for example. So, you know, for the last, well, it's 2012, the reg came in. Your insurance company is not allowed to notice the enormously obvious fact that males are higher risk than females. So both genders pay the same premium. So in effect, females subsidise males there, especially when both are young. But we seem to have decided for all sorts of reasons, societal reasons, that that's the way we want to go. So, you know, I joked before and since that you can either call that equality or you can call it fairness. But by definition, it can't be both.
Moving on, another story about replacing the Darth's 40-year-old carriage fleet, and some debate as to whether or not you replace them with electric carriages, which will use overhead wires, but also have a battery capability which would allow them to carry on as a diesel would without the wires.
Yeah, now we need to replace the rolling stock. A lot of it is 40 years old. I mean, there were 80 carriages initially on the first Dart system. 76 of them are still in service. So they've actually had their safety warranty extended. And, you know, they're old stock, but I mean, they really need to be replaced. I'm a bit disappointed at the cost. You know, however, one accepts that these things, I believe, have to be done. Should we go for battery capable ones or dual capable ones? Well, I'm struck by in some French cities. So if you go to places like Nice or Montpellier, where the Lewis is exactly the same as our Lewis, it even sounds the same when it goes ting, ting, ting and your head whips around. You think you're on Stephen's Green. But they're dual capable. They have batteries to take them through intersections and they can pick up the wires again on the far side. So, you know, they didn't have to redesign their St. Patrick's Day parade around wires over junctions. So instinctively, I think that the dual capability seems to make sense to me, but I would accept that this has to be part of a bigger plan for what we're going to do with rail, with metro, with Lewis, etc. But the basic thing is, you know, expensive or not, that's 40-year-old railing stock, our rolling stock on the Dart network, and we are going to have to pay to replace it. I doubt it'll get cheaper if we prevaricate.
The only thing I suppose is that they will look at 747s that have been going for 40 years.
Yes.
Not a bit of it is original because they've replaced every bit except
Murphy's broom,
except the fuselage.
Yeah, Murphy's broom. And look, if we're going to get aviation standards of safety from our rail network, which we want, much higher standards of safety than cars, for example, and that's all to the good. But that entails keeping the stock current. And I do accept you can get a 40-year-old carriage in perfectly serviceable condition. I can drive a 30-year-old diesel car in just the same way. But, you know, it will need to be replaced. And doing that is unlikely to get cheaper if we prevaricate.
Now, e-scooters back in the news again because of the number of definitive injuries and even some fatalities from e-scooters.
Yeah, loads over the last little while, because it's a year since we regulated them. Now, they were on the roads before that, but they're fully regulated in the last year or so. So what's happening? Lots more of them. So they are turning up everywhere. St. James's did a report that they released over the weekend that showed that when people fall off bikes and e-scooters for get facial injuries, collarbones, things of that sort, they saw a huge spike in e-scooters. They also note that in a third of cases, or nearly, and the person injured off an e-scooter had alcohol or drugs in their system, which we see in other accident data as well. We're now seeing that e-scooters are being used in crimes and they're turning up there. So to my mind, Pat, it's not telling you anything about e-scooters other than there are now lots more of them. It is, however, telling you a little bit about Irish society. You know, when you peek into the data, you look at injury data, you see there's loads of alcohol still out there. Well, you know what? We see the same in other data as well. It's definitely true. And as for the crime, the utility of an e-scooter for street-level drug deals, you can whisk off on the yoke. We've all seen it. I don't think we should be surprised that it's there. But I don't think it's telling us about e-scooters. I mean, mobile phones are extensively used to sell drugs as well. All that tells you is a bit about drugs rather than a bit about technology.
The RSA revealed in May that nearly one in four regular e-scooter users had been involved in a collision. Now, if you said that about cars, you'd say we have an emergency.
Yeah, or cycling. And again, it depends what you mean by collision. But you need to ask similar data of cyclists. I mean, cyclist injuries are underreported for a long time too, Pat, because unless the cyclist is actually properly hurt and needs A&E treatment, often it never shows up in the data. Or they show up in A&E 2 days later with what's actually a broken collarbone and it's never recorded as a cyclist injury. So maybe one of the things we need to do is for pedestrians, cyclists and e-scooter users to capture better sort of primary data. So we know when slips and falls occurred, for example, is it curbs? Is it grannies? Is it e-scooter users? Better data would help us.
Every time we talk about e-scooters, you're a proponent of them because they are a useful kind of last mile type of transportation to get from A to B. However, the way we are currently using them, first of all, on roads that are unfit for them, a tiny wheel goes into any kind of a pothole or a shore and off you come, which might explain the number of collisions that we've had. 420 something last year, already this year in the first 6 months, 260, which if you double it for the rest of the year and we're going into winter then, probably more than double, you'd be over 500 collisions. Yeah. So the question is how we're using them. I mean, if you've got lovely smooth pavements, which are designated for e-bikes and e-scooters, which go at quite a lick rather than your ordinary active travel push bike, because they are active travel, push bikes are.
Yeah.
E-scooters are not active travel.
Well, Pat, I came in on an active travel push bike myself today. Yeah. And on my ordinary bike, I've been doing it for years. There's a natural flowing speed that is just the common behaviour of bicycles. And you feel yourself in the peloton. The properly used e-bike, scooter, assisted bike is in the peloton with everybody else, behaving the same way as a bicycle. And then it is perfect. But when they start getting abused, in the same way that, you know, we gave out about cycle couriers 10 years ago, whisking through traffic and knocking off wing mirrors and behaving appallingly.
They still do that.
They still do that. Now, when e-bike users start doing that, I mean, the basic potential of an e-bike is it trebles the number of potential cyclists and it trebles their potential range. So you could have nine times as many people on two wheelers. If you do that, you'll have nine times as many idiots as well. And you will see these bad behaviours and people will fall off them. And we will indeed have to discuss how best to make people safer. But it's telling you about people. It's not telling you about the technology. And I don't think you can undo the technology.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.